your goodness, your love, and your mercy for each of us. And we thank you for that, Lord, before we even get there. So praise God for that. Woo! Amen. So Go Yard on Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. our counseling show, our Facebook post, almost every week, not every, but almost. And we also would invite you to catch up on these shows that you missed by going right here to tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcast tab and go down to Living the Good Life. And that's the name of this show. And you can also catch Go Yard shows there too. Plus, our websites carry the shows with titles. And the ministry's website is www.bohmglobal.com. Stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. The easy way to do it, bohmglobal.com. And find these shows, listen to them, tell people about them, and listen to the Word of God and let it sink down deep within you, because God wants to do a new thing in you. It is time for Station ID. Then we're coming back for hour number two. All right. Welcome back to the second half of Living the Good Life. And Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, just informed me that September 23rd of this week, of this year, guys, is going to be a very special day for this show. And we are going to have quite a day with all of our radio team members, and even maybe some of our radio team members that were on in years past, going to join us for a great show. Cindy and Nan, it is show number, ready? I don't have a drum roll right here, but I wish I did. It is show number 600.
Wow.
Can you believe
Amen.
That? Amen. Woo! So, Cindy, why do we do these shows? Why would we even be anticipating getting to the 600 mark and going on past that?
Well, first reason is because God wants you to do them.
Right. Okay. That's good.
He worked that out. He set it up. The second is because you can reach so many people. The church can reach those in the Tampa Bay area, and even though it can send people out, you can pray for people in other locations. People can go out and be a witness to God's glory when they travel or whatever. A radio broadcast can go truly global.
It can.
And
it does.
So you can reach so many more people.
And
I think that people who listen on a regular basis can see how God moves.
Right.
In that so often we pick a topic and then it goes in a totally different direction because he meets the needs that need to be met through that broadcast.
You're exactly right, Cindy. And all God asks of us is to be willing vessels, to listen attentively to his voice during these shows, follow the leading of his Holy Spirit. And that is a privilege and a joy, don't you think, Cindy?
Oh yeah. That's any time we can do what he wants us to do, it's a privilege, because not only is it going to help others, it's going to help us.
Exactly.
And I think he gives us opportunities to serve, not always for other people.
Right. Well,
it's for us.
So you're saying it could help us too, right?
Absolutely.
Well, it does. I tell you, when I come out of these shows, I am pumped. I mean, it is like, oh, thank you, God, for what you just did. Nan, talk to us about that, because it's not something that we're getting paid for. We pay to do this. It is a joy to spread the gospel worldwide in this avenue, this medium. Talk to us, Nan, and then we're going to get to this next song.
Well, you're talking about being charged. What's really cool, listeners, is to be here at the radio station with her, and then when we walk out, she is so charged. She's like, yes, that was a great show today. Like I said, we are here to minister.
Yes.
And you know, whether they're listening live or listening at a future time, that the Holy Spirit is on these shows. God
right.
moves through these shows, and the Holy Spirit is with them whenever they're listening to it, and he's speaking to them.
Amen. And why do I react that way, Nan? Just not say because you're crazy or something like that, I mean, seriously, if you can't answer that, I'm going to Cindy because she knows me very well, too. And why do I react that way?
Because you get all excited because people's lives are changed as a direct result of what happens on this radio show. And we know that. We hear prayer requests back. We hear statements back from people on the email addresses and that they're being blessed. And they're being blessed.
And some of them are in other countries. Go ahead.
For those of you who've never actually met Pastor or seen her in action, she pretty much lives charged.
That's
true.
Her constant state of being is charged. So for her to come out of a radio broadcast and be extra charged, that's you're talking about some charge.
Oh, some charge. All right. You know what it is? It's all about God, and it's all about the fact that we have this blessed hope as the anchor of our souls. We're going home someday. We are going home by Chris Tomlin. Get into this thing. This is one of those songs you're going to want to clap and dance to.
This world is not what it was meant to be. All this pain, all this suffering. There's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away. Every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas of amazing grace. In heaven, I'm going home where the streets are golden. Every chain is broken. Oh, I wanna go. Oh, I wanna go home where every fear.
We're going home. That song says it so well. That's one of my new favorites that I play a lot. Going home, because, you know, that's our goal. That's where we want to be. We want to live with him for all eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For instance, Paul says here, we know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they will be replaced. Say the word replaced with me, audience. Replaced. Replaced by resurrection bodies in heaven. God made, not handmade. And we'll never have to relocate our tents again. Sometimes we can hardly wait to move, and so we cry out in frustration. Compared to what's coming, living conditions around here seem like a stopover in an unfurnished shack, and we're tired of it. I find that so interesting in the Message Bible, Cindy. That wording is amazing to me. This is so temporary, and we get so upset about our living conditions sometimes. Talk to us.
Oh, goodness. I like the Message version because it's easy to relate it to real life.
It really is, isn't it?
And I would venture to say that the majority of us have had to move before. Actually, my mom and dad are facing having to move.
Right.
In their late 70s, early 80s here. And mom mentioned it again just now when I talked to her. It's like, Cindy, I just don't think I can go through another move.
Right.
And it's hard on us.
Right.
You know? But living in an unfurnished shack would be hard too.
Well, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be bad? Yeah.
Yeah. So living in an unfurnished shack, although you might dread moving, something tells me you're going to want to go.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's making the best of what you have, where you are. The sermon series right now at church is thinking big in small spaces, small places.
That's right. Good
and
point.
It's not settling to stay there for the rest of your life.
Right.
It's learning what you need to learn, doing what you need to do. Maybe you need to furnish the shack.
Okay.
You know, maybe that's what being in the shack is about right now, furnishing the shack. And then once you furnish the shack and are faithful, then comes your bigger place.
Yeah.
But it's also to help you realize that it's temporary.
It's temporary.
And like you said, here for us is temporary.
It is.
The destination is heaven. This is the journey.
Right.
And we have to align ourselves with and walk with Jesus on this journey.
Exactly.
To make it to the destination in the condition we're supposed to get there in.
Right. You know, I've got a kayaking shirt that I've had for 30 years or so. When I first started kayaking, maybe 25 years. And on the back of it, on the front of it, it says Kayak Tampa Bay, which I love to kayak and love to kayak Tampa Bay. But on the back, it says the journey is the destination.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so often, you know, like with a kayaking trip, when you get out there, the minute my paddle gets in the water, it's like that feeling of, oh, I love this. Why don't I do this more often? I just love this. And in kayaking, usually I'm not going anywhere really important. I'm going maybe across to Caladese Island from Dunedin Causeway here, or just paddling around. But it's the joy of the journey. And you know what, Paul said that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And it was the joy of the journey. You know, you want to talk about that, Nan? Woo! The joy of the journey.
It took me some time to learn that, the joy of the journey.
It takes all of us a lot of time
because
to learn that.
I like completed tasks.
Right.
I like to get to the goal.
Yeah.
I like to be able to check that goal off of my list of whatever I'm doing.
Right, sure.
And, you know, it was when my son was two that I learned what it was like to... okay, enjoy the journey.
Right.
the journey, not just the completed goal, not the goal, but enjoy the journey. I mean, you waste a lot of time going through the journey, not enjoying it.
Right.
Know?
Yes.
You get to, you reach the goal, but you could have had a heck of a lot more time fun with the journey if you would have just embraced and enjoyed the journey. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the journey is always easy.
It's not.
It's not always easy.
It's not supposed to be.
It's not supposed to be. But in the midst of that, God will give us the grace of what we need to do to take care of that
We're
going through and handling our journey to the end.
Why is the journey not meant to be necessarily easy, Cindy?
I don't know.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yes, you do know, because if we never went through hard times, what would happen to us?
It's just like, as a kid, you can't give your kids everything they want.
Right.
Because if you do, A, they're spoiled. B, sometimes they want things that will hurt them.
Right, yeah.
That aren't good for them.
Right.
And so maybe not playing out in the street is, you know, a very saddening experience for a four-year-old. But
right,
they actually live to be five.
And yeah, so, it's a good thing.
You know, it's that temporary disappointment of not being able to play in the street.
Right,
allows them to grow up to be older.
Right,
and get to play somewhere else.
Right,
and so it's. I think it's, obviously it's not easy because of sin. Because in the garden, even though I believe they had work to do, I think it was easy for them. It was enjoyable. It was exciting. And so once sin entered the world, then things got hard.
Oh, yeah. Quick. And isn't that true in our lives too? Really?
Yes. But it's he uses those things to grow us. Again, they're not from him. He doesn't put them on us, but he does use them. That verse, I go back to that verse all the time, you know, that these things, God uses these things for our good.
Right.
And his glory. And that gets me through a lot of things.
Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You want the things in your life to turn out for good in your life? Love God through it, in the midst of it. Don't get bitter. Don't get resentful. Why, God, are you putting this on me? Why is this happening to me? Why is this diagnosis? Or why did that person leave me? And when, you know, a lot of things, we're not going to know the answer to that why, maybe even until heaven. Or we may see the answer 10 months from now or 2 years from now. Oh, that's why I had to go through that. I think so often we get ourselves so expectant of always understanding why something happened. And it doesn't always work that way. Nan, talk to us a minute, because it doesn't always work that way. She said reluctantly, I can hear it. I saw the sigh. I heard the sigh.
Sorry.
Did you hear it, Cindy? The sigh was, yeah, it was really bad. Yeah, it was bad. What, Nan? I'm sorry.
I pass.
You pass?
I pass.
All right. Okay, so I guess the point is that because so often we let these things bog us down and we let, you know, problems with our earthly tent, which is our physical body here, and our emotions here, and the way we live, and our finances, and our you know, place we live, etc. All that become they preoccupy our thoughts, and they preoccupy them with worry and doubt and fear. And it keeps us out of the place of expecting that glorious return of Jesus, or expecting that new body that we're going to have someday. Talk to me about all that, Cindy, while Nan gets ready to say something very important, I'm sure. Here, just a minute.
Well, it's just like driving. The enemy uses these things to distract us. And when you're driving and you're distracted, you often end up driving where you're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
And that can be damaging not only to you, but to others.
Right.
And it can be deadly to you and to others. So it's, you know, when you're driving, you have to cut out the distractions.
Right.
And it's the same way with living. The enemy's going to throw every distraction at you that he possibly can to get you to drive off the track.
Exactly. Drive off the cliff.
Drive off a cliff. Drive off, you know, hit people as you go. Because he wants you not on that Jesus journey. And he will delay. He will, you know, give you traffic jams and car breakdowns and all
right.
sorts of things.
Exactly.
But you can't get distracted
right.
from that destination because it's somewhere you really need to be.
Exactly. Well, in 2 Corinthians 5 here in these verses, about 3, 4, 5 someplace, it says, we've been given a glimpse of the real thing, our true home, our resurrection bodies. Okay? The Spirit of God whets our appetite by giving us a taste of what's ahead. He puts a little of heaven in our hearts so that we'll never settle for less. That is so true. He lets us get a glimpse. Sometimes it happens in a powerful, Spirit-filled service where you're just almost carried away in the glory of God and His presence. Sometimes it's in a quiet, quiet moment where His still, small voice is speaking to your heart. He puts a little of heaven in our hearts so that we'll never settle for less. Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 5, that's why we live with such good cheer. You won't see us drooping our heads or dragging our feet. Cramped conditions here don't get us down. They only remind us of the spacious living conditions ahead. It's what we trust in but don't see yet that keeps us going. Do you suppose a few ruts in the road or rocks in the path are going to stop us? When the time comes, we'll be plenty ready to exchange exile for homecoming. And that is so true. When the time comes, I think so many people are afraid of dying. The fear of death is a huge hang up with people, Cindy. I want you to talk about that, and then we'll go to Nan. I've seen it as a pastor all these years, but I've also seen that when people are close to death, they change, and it's almost like that glimpse of where they're going is so much better than what they're going through that their attitude shifts, and they're looking forward to it. Talk to me, Cindy.
Dying mercies, I believe.
I agree. Dying mercies, yes.
I think a lot of people, it's not so much the fear of dying. It's the, A, you don't want to die painfully.
Right.
Because none of us like pain.
Right.
And B, you don't want to leave people behind. You don't want to, all of us in some way have somebody who depends on
us. Oh, sure.
Even if it's just, you know, the stray cat at the grocery.
Right.
Toss a few pieces of meat to or something.
Right, right.
And I think that none of us want to leave behind our spouse, our children, our parents, you know, those things. And we don't want to leave behind things that are undone.
Right.
And so I you know, God made us that way. He knows. And so I think it's the fear of dying is maybe different for different people. But I think it's something that we can not let overwhelm us.
I totally agree.
When we stop and think about it's not an end, it's a transition.
It's a transition. Yeah.
And as soon as this spirit leaves this, I like the way the message puts it, earth tent. As soon as my spirit leaves my earth tent, I'm immediately in the presence of God.
This passage in 2 Corinthians, not in the Message Bible, but in other translations, basically says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so it's not a matter of going to purgatory where you pay for sins or something like that. It's not like that. Paul is very clear that to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. Heaven, we're going to have our spiritual, we're not going to have our resurrected bodies. I believe we're going to be have the spiritual body. It's unclear exactly how that's going to look, but we know that people have died and gone to heaven and seen their relatives and seen their friends and their animals and all of this come back and paint that picture of what it's going to be like. Nan, do you want to comment on that? Because this is not something we should be afraid of. This is something we should embrace.
It's something, there are a lot of people who are fearful of that.
And
we'll take the example of not wanting to discuss what my funeral arrangements will be.
There you go.
I have not done it yet, but I'm going to pull together exactly what I want done, what I want bought, who I want to do what poems I want put in my little book, whatever, to make it easier for my parents in case they outlive me. To make it easy for them. Now, on the other hand, I would really like to be able to ask them, what would you like or what would you prefer? But because they're older than me and a lot of their friends are passing away, because I hear about it about every week, someone's passing away. I don't think they want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But for them, it'll be a blessed event because they're Christians. They'll go to heaven.
Exactly.
But of course, like Cindy was saying, you don't look at it necessarily that way because you don't want to leave behind the people who depend on you. Yeah, I depend on my parents.
Right.
My son depends on my parents.
And, right.
I know my dad really doesn't want to go yet because he is busy helping us.
Right. Sure. That's a good point. And so often it's a fear of the unknown. It's a fear of, I see that written here in the Bible, but is that really going to happen? Address that, Cindy, before we go to the song. Yes and amen.
I think the what gets me through, keeps me going, is knowing Jesus has already gone through this, and that he's sitting there at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
Interceding for us. So he's been through it. He knows what it's like.
Right.
He had the apostles. He had a family. He
right.
had a mom and a dad and siblings.
Right.
I'm sure it was very, very difficult to think of leaving them behind.
Right.
So he knows what it's like. He's been through it. And I believe he's sitting there keenly aware of how we feel about it.
Right.
And again, I believe it, for the Christian, I believe it is, for everybody it's instantaneous, but for the Christian it's instantaneous from here. It's almost like another dimension that
right.
lives right beside the one we're in.
It does, doesn't it? It is.
And so it's when you think of dying and going to heaven and you think, way up there somewhere, but it's not.
It's not.
It's you step across a line, basically. You're here, and
you know what? That's a really good point.
Half a step over heaven. So when you think about it like that, and I don't want to leave people behind. I'm not looking to die early. I want to live out the course of my life as long as God wants me to be here. But I'm really looking forward to meeting some people up there.
Oh, absolutely.
Not just my relatives, but I want to meet Joshua.
Right.
And David and Solomon and some of these people.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely.
What you're just describing, this instant to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm just thinking about two of my grandsons, Justin and Levi. My son Ryan's youngest son, Justin, and my daughter Lori's oldest son, Levi, are both graduating from high school in the end of May, that first weekend of June. And I'm going there for both of their graduations. And I was talking to my grandson Levi last night, and he was talking about the transition from high school days and working a full-time job at Walmart, which he does, and another job that he has now, and then going to start college and all of this, the transition. And so often when we have that kind of a transition, it's like huge life changes, right? We are, one minute we were this kid in high school and all this, and the next minute, Justin, for instance, is going to college and playing tennis now. He's been signed to play tennis for Indiana University. And this is like crazy, wonderful. But the life change in these two young men is going to be amazing. And yet there's a little bit of fear, but there's also excitement. And I really feel like if we can realize that the promises of God are yes and amen. I'm going to play that song right now that we did this morning at Beacon of Hope. And realize that these promises are going to happen, dear one. You're going to transition from this earthly body that you have to your heavenly resurrected body. You are going to do that transition, and it will be split second, and it will be glorious and not painful. Listen to this and be encouraged.
Faithfulness, I will rest in your promises.
Nan, speak to us. You got a poem during that song.
I did.
Talk.
I am so faithful to you. Believe that this is so true. I will fulfill my promises to you. They will be done. They'll come through. I am here to do such wonderful things. Good things to you I will bring. So believe me that this is also, and through this time you will grow. Yes, I will fulfill all of them. Upon this you can depend.
Whoa. Boy, isn't that good? And that scripture is in 1 Corinthians, where all the promises of God are yes and amen. Or maybe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I believe it is. All the promises are yes and amen. In other words, when God tells you he's going to do something, and he's told us all through the word that there is a heavenly home that we're going to be able to live in for all eternity, that's going to happen, Cindy. That's going to happen. Talk to us about it. It's not might be, but it will be.
Mm-hmm. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe amen means so be it.
It does mean or so be it.
It is so.
It is so. That's right.
If the if the promises are yes and amen,
uh-huh.
Yes, it is so. So it's a guarantee.
It's a guarantee.
It's not, we break promises.
Right.
He doesn't.
He does not. He cannot.
Right. Now, if you have a guarantee from somebody, you know, you get a guarantee on a product, they might try to wiggle out of it, but a guarantee is a guarantee. They have to live up to it.
And you're right.
So when he says they're yes and amen, it's like, yes, hooray.
Right.
Yippee. And it is so.
You are exactly right. You know, a couple days ago, I pulled my little car into the dealership because something needed attention. And the service writer said to me, she goes, wow, you've got 49,000 whatever miles on this and your warranty is only to 50,000. So you need to stay here and get this taken care of because we want to honor the warranty. And I said, yeah, that's why I stopped in today and didn't stop in a month from now, you know. And the warranty is, and they have stood behind that warranty all these 50,000 miles for every little mm-hmm. thing that's happened. And not many things, but there have been, you know. And with God, his warranty or his, you know, his promises that he's made us, that there is a heaven. Paul talks mm-hmm. about it. So many of the disciples talked about it. Jesus taught it all through when he was walking this earth and talking in his ministry. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but it bears repeating. The disciples said, teach us to pray. And Jesus' first line of that prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 is, our Father who art in heaven, right? It does not mm-hmm. say our Father who doesn't exist anywhere or is right here on earth. We're not talking about our fathers on this planet. My dad's in heaven already. And yours, Nan, and yours, Cindy, they're still here. But our Father is in heaven. The Son is Jesus, who is also now seated at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as a guarantee, as a written warranty, if you will. When I bought that car, I got a written warranty and said up to 50,000 miles, all this whole list of things would be covered. The warranty that we have is the Holy Spirit within us. His presence within us. Talk to us, Nan, about that, and then we'll go to Cindy. His presence within us reminds us that we are not just mortal dust here. We've got the presence of Almighty God with those promises in us.
When you think about it, that's just a
crazy
shouting material.
That's shouting that's material.
Shouting material, you know,
right?
That the God of the all universe, Son, gave His life for us.
Yeah,
and that He resides within us.
And He sent His Spirit to be here in us.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know, the Holy Spirit, and it's pretty awesome when you really sit back and just really think about it.
Oh,
you know,
it is.
You kind of sometimes get caught up in the mechanics of, okay, I get up in the morning, I do this. Okay, on Sunday, I go to church. Okay, Wednesday night, I go to church. You know, and you just kind of get in this cycle of, this is what I do, and this is what I'm supposed to do. Just stop and really realize why you're doing what you're doing. You know, why do I go to church? You know, I go to fellowship with my brothers and sisters, but I go to hear the word.
Yeah.
And that's where the word,
exactly.
The anointed word, the Holy
right.
Spirit is moving through the speaker and,
yeah.
and through the songs and through the whatever's going on.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. Right.
It's pretty cool to think that we have, you know, like I said, the Holy Spirit living within us.
Woo.
That's exciting.
Talk to us. Talk to us, Cindy. Woo. Praise God.
Well, he said that God has given us a glimpse of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
For the apostles, that glimpse was Jesus.
Right.
For us, that glimpse is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And
yes.
So whereas they had him for 3 years, we have the Holy Spirit, if we've accepted the sacrifice of Christ and accepted him as our Savior, we have it for a lifetime.
Right.
So we walk around with a glimpse of heaven in us.
Yes.
And therefore
yes.
are able to project that glimpse of heaven to others.
That is so right. And so that's why when you're around someone who's getting ready to go to heaven, let's say they know their diagnosis is they're going to be going soon. And mm-hmm. and I've been around so many of these. And I've been so blessed as a pastor all these years to be with so many people as they go to be with Jesus. And one of the common things is that when they're right ready to slip from this earthly realm and transition into the heavenly realm and to be with Jesus, there is a smile, there is a glow. I have seen it mm-hmm. over and over again, Cindy and Nan, where that mm-hmm. face begins to change, and maybe somebody that's not even been able to utter a word because they're so ill says Jesus, invariably Jesus, and looks up with a smile, with a grin, or hands lifted in the air. And a few minutes before, they were not able to even raise their hands at all, their arms. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. what is that? Talk to me, Cindy. Woo!
And often they see angels.
Yeah, they do.
Or someone motioning to them to come. And again, I think that's those dying mercies
yes.
that God removing any fear they might have.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I got to give you an example that I just thought of that happened right before my mom passed away in July of 2012. And I left our service there on Almerton when we were meeting there, and I went straight mm-hmm. to her room at Accordia. And mom was just like my dad. We grew up as a baseball family, loved baseball. Mom and dad went to a lot of the Rays games. And so when I got there that day, I turned on the Rays. This was probably 2 weeks before she passed and went to be with Jesus. And I'm sitting there, and I said, Mom, we're going to watch the game. And she was kind of in and out of it. And all of a sudden, she looked up to the other direction from the TV and looked mm-hmm. up about 5 feet or 6 feet up in the air and started talking. And I couldn't understand a word she was saying. And she had never mm-hmm. done this before. It was just the average person, it would be gibberish, I suppose. But she was talking, and there was a smile on her face. And it caught my mm-hmm. attention, and I said, Mom, are you talking to Dad? You know, because Dad had already passed a few years before. Mm-hmm. She shook her head violently, no. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you see something? And yes was the response, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a minute by asking over and over again, you know, what is it you see? She wouldn't respond. She was just glowing. Her she was a smile on her face. And finally, you know, slow me said, do you see Jesus? And she burst out with the biggest grin and kind of a half of a laugh. And I said, more important than the Rays right now, watching baseball, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a joy to see that she had made that contact even a couple weeks before, and she was ready. Mm-hmm. She was ready. Nan, do you want to comment before we do this song?
I just think it's cool the way, you know, sometimes when it gets to the end for people, how you have seen things happen, as you were sharing also this morning in the morning service, mm-hmm. you know. Of things happening, like, and here you're sharing of your mom. I mean, you know, there is an afterlife.
Absolutely, folks.
People want to say there's not. There is.
There is.
There is. Mm-hmm. There is.
Get ready.
Get ready, there is.
I've got to do this song, and I can't hardly do this song ever without absolutely just beginning to worship God. About 2.5 years ago, I guess it was 2 years ago right now, one of my closest uncle, Uncle Jack, was a Cubs fan, taught me to love baseball. Uncle Jack went to be with the Lord, and then my cousins and my Aunt Betty called me and said, come to Indiana, do his funeral, do his memorial, and I did. And the morning that I was driving there from my son's house to the location, the church where the funeral was, I kept playing this song on my tablet all the way there to the funeral. And the anointing of God was all over that funeral, and people's lives were touched. And I immersed myself in this song and in the presence of the Lord as I drove. And it's for somebody out there, and it may be for a whole lot of somebody's, We Shall Behold Him. Mm-hmm. By Sandy Patty.
The sky shall unfold, preparing His entrance. The stars shall applaud.
God, we shall behold Him, dear listeners. We're going to see Him in all His glory, the risen Lord in His resurrected body, and we're going to see Him. And if you pass away before Jesus comes back to this earth, the most important decision you will ever make in your lifetime is to say, Lord, I want You to live on the inside of me. I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Come and live in me. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I invite you, Heavenly Father, to come in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Live in me, into my heart. Come and live in me, because one day I want to live with you for all eternity. If that is your goal, if that is your heart, tell God that right now. He accepts you right the way you are. You don't have to clean yourself up for God to say, I want you, my child, to be part of my heavenly family. He accepts you and loves you and does not reject you, but accepts you with open arms this day. Run into the precious arms of Jesus and let him hold you and let him comfort you and let him tell you that he has a plan for your life and that you can live with him for all eternity. Lord, for every listener today and in the future, we ask that you touch each heart so that they realize the importance of their home going someday to be with you. Lord, we thank you for the way you've ministered through this show today. It's been amazing. You get the glory and the praise, mighty God. You are a wonderful, wonderful, awesome God. And we love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Woo! Nan, you got a poem? Whoa, praise God. Woo! I don't know about y'all, but that song just takes me right there at the throne.
I've been listening to that song some the last couple of weeks, so I really enjoyed hearing it again.
Yes.
Four lines that came during that song said, you will be able to behold Jesus. It is entirely up to you. Accepting him as your Savior is what you now need to do.
Whoa.
And I had written two verses here that was actually going to be my closing statement, and it seems I should read it now. It's called Reach Out to Him. If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, I encourage you to accept him right now. You will receive eternal life, and then you will receive power. Ask Jesus for forgiveness of your sins, asking him to live within your heart. Your life will never be the same. Of this life, do you want to start?
Whoa. I think that's a great invitation right there. Praise God. Cindy, talk to us. Wow. Thank you, Nan.
I think that some people think that the decision to follow Jesus is, like you said, they have to clean themselves up. They have to be better at this or stop doing that. And I think that's what I would like to stress as we close, that is that fact that he meets you where you are. I heard a pastor talk about his salvation experience. He was a drug dealer, and he was in the middle of a drug deal, and God just reached down and told him, no, that's it, no more. You know, you're done. Come outside. Wow. Let's go. And he did. He got up and walked out right in the middle of the
drug
deal.
Wow.
And was then given grew and was eventually given a very large ministry.
Wow.
So you don't have to do anything except make that decision.
That's right.
It's just a simple decision. Okay, God, you win. I'm yours.
You win, and I'm yours, yes.
Even if you don't even understand what it's about, he'll show you. You make the decision. He'll get you where you need to be. He'll get you around the believers you need to be around, the church you need to be in, and he'll take it from there.
Exactly.
He's got this.
He's
and
got it.
And all you have to do is make that one decision. Okay. And God said in the Bible, it's in Malachi, prove me now herewith.
Yeah.
He was. That verse was talking about tithe, but if we can prove him about money, I'm thinking we can prove him about anything. So just say, hey, you know what? You're real. You want me?
You are.
Prove it.
Amen. Woo. All right.
And then we'll see you in heaven then.
Whoa, that's right. I'm going to come back to you for a final word in just a moment, Cindy. Nan, give us a final thought here before we finish with this last song.
I just encourage the people, if they don't know Jesus as their Savior, accept him.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a wonderful gift.
Exactly. Life-changing event. Back to you, Cindy. Thank you, Nan, for being on today.
I, this past week, I got a text from a mom who said that her 14-year-old told her that he knew I was safe because he could see God in me.
Praise God. That's cool.
And that is the best compliment you could ever
That's
give
right.
someone.
That's right.
Anybody could ever get.
Yes.
Was that somebody can see Jesus in me.
Exactly.
And I want everybody to be able to experience that.
That's right.
To not only to experience the miraculous things that happen in your life when you know him, but also the things that can happen in other people's lives simply by seeing them in you.
Amen. That's good. Good final thought. Thank you, Cindy Henderson from Idaho. Thank you, Nan Watson from right here at Beacon of Hope. And Cindy's our honorary Beaconite still, even though she lives clear out there. And
that's right.
This has been a joy to be with you. I'm going to end this show today a little differently. I want to end it with a hallelujah chorus because it's going to be what it's like when we get to heaven. So I don't know if there's going to be this angel choir singing the hallelujah chorus every time someone comes through the gate. I don't know how it's going to work. I just know that I wasn't planning on doing this, and God says, let's end with the hallelujah chorus today. So you know what? That's what it's all about. This has been Nan, Cindy, Pastor Marcia from Beacon of Hope Ministries bringing you the Word of God today. Thank you, Cindy and Nan, from the bottom of my heart. And people, let's rejoice.